Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lara and WNYC and our Uncommon Economic Indicators Project continues with your stories, photos, videos, and more about the recession's impact on New York City and vicinity. You can see all our listeners' submissions to your Uncommon Economic Indicators at WNYC.org or submit your own. Just click on Brian Lehrer Show. And the calls are coming in, too, to our Uncommon Economic Indicators hotline, 1-800-543-2543, if you want to contribute to that. Here are a few recent submissions.
H&H Bagels dropped the price of their bagel by 10 cents back to $1.30 instead of $1.40.
Traffic on the dinky at rush hour, when it used to be quite crowded on the train, is much reduced.
I had to go to the mall, and the parking lot was absolutely packed. And I thought, wow, this recession is finally over. But there were absolutely nobody in the stores. Everybody had congregated into the food court to find a cheaper alternative to their favorite Saturday night restaurant.
Callers to our Uncommon Economic Indicators hotline. To add your story, call 1-800-543-2543. Just count it down, 1-800-543-2543. And here's a little advice for parents of toddlers from a new documentary called Nursery University about the New York City preschool admission process.
You want to begin calling at about 8 in the morning.
Day after Labor Day, everybody's dialing for dollars.
The phone will be busy, busy, busy. 2 years ago, I was promoting this speed dialer.
How many applications, like, roughly do, like, most of them give out?
We run out every year, and no, you're not guaranteed that you're going to get one.
After you receive an application,
do not send a resume for your child.
Stay organized and be prompt.
Do not send a DVD.
If you're writing an essay about a one-year-old and telling me how gifted they are, I really want to vomit.
It makes you look crazy. Don't do it.
Got that. So how fraught is the process of finding a preschool in this city? Filmmaker Mark Simon followed five families through the maze. He even came and shot part of an interview we did on the show, which actually made it into the film with a preschool director. And he joins me now along with one of the fathers featured in the film, Tony Pratofiorito. Welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having us.
So, Mark Simon, welcome back, I should say, because you were here with Gabriella Rowe from the Mandel School, where my kids once upon a time went to nursery school. And your previous film was about prisoners exonerated on DNA evidence. And yet you've said this is more sensitive. Why?
Well, actually, it was a bit of a joke in the opposite direction. But before we get to that joke, I was walking in and heard the grunts of Monica Seles through the feed. I said, oh, my God, they're already previewing the nursery school with the screaming and the grunts. But I hope the film shows it's really not that scary. What happened was the first event that we were going to film for Nursery University, it was a panel discussion on how to get into preschool and navigate the maze. And the organizers denied us access, and they said this material is far too sensitive to cover. And I was thinking, I had just been filming in maximum security prisons. Now, that is sensitive stuff. So
right.
I'm trying to demystify some of this.
Now, Tony, where's your daughter today? In school, I hope.
She is in school today at Epiphany Community Nursery School, yes.
Where is that exactly?
That is on 74th and York.
Uh-huh. And in the film, you say, this started when you realized your friends might not be joking when they asked you which preschool you'd picked out when your daughter Juliana was born.
That is correct. We were at Lenox Hill Hospital, and two or three of the nurses and such were making jokes, but it actually came to a reality. And I thought, I really need to look into this because it is a reality. I understand there's so many more children under five and then there were in 2000, and the articles really threw us for a loop. So we thought we would look into it, and so we did.
And was it crazy?
It was pretty crazy. We really had to widely apply to many of the schools and get a really understand the culture of where we wanted to be. And, you know, we had a happy ending, so we were happy with the process.
What made you choose this school? What made it a cultural match for
your
family?
You know what it is? The bottom line for the kindergarten through 12 schools is that they want to select children that are ready to be in kindergarten. So the right nursery school prepares you for that next step, which is, I guess, why they call it pre-K. But we were lucky in the respect that Epiphany Community College, it was really the perfect fit for our daughter. We had an effective preschool director, which was crucial for us. She helped us understand Juliana's learning style and coached us through the best culture for ongoing schools as well. So
ongoing school is the fancy preschool term for K through 12.
That is correct.
You go to preschool and then you go to your ongoing school, as they call it, which is the K through 12. Here is Mandel School Director Gabriella Rowe in the film on why she thinks this is so crazy.
There are some parents who believe that preschool is the first step in getting your child into the college of your choice. And most of us on the education side find that completely ridiculous and to the point of laughable. No, this is not your entree into Harvard. However, if children get a really good preschool education, they have a leg up. And that little grain of truth, unfortunately, I think has been expanded into more mass hysteria.
All right, listeners, call up and admit it. Do you send your children to private, expensive preschool so they can have a leg up in going to Harvard eventually? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How about if we keep this, because we've done this topic before when Mark was here filming. People who just got your kid admitted to preschool now for the fall. Okay. Anybody out there like that? Call us and tell us about the application process that you just completed. If your child is entering preschool in the fall, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Mark, I think the educators must be conflicted because I guess Gabriella and her many colleagues in this field who are professional educators want to feel that they're taking care of the child for the sake of the child. However, on one level, they really are, some of the most elite ones, really are kind of mills for preparing kids to get into the elite private schools, Dalton and Horace Mann and Columbia Prep and, you know, take your pick. And they're preparing them. It's almost like a prep school for four-year-olds because they're preparing them to take that exam that you have to take and to even go to the interviews that they have. So it is kind of like a prep school, or uncharitably kind of like a mill, isn't it?
Well, I think that these, you know, we can call them the more elite nursery schools, they'll absolutely tell you unanimously that they're just focused on giving their children the best education that they can. And I do think that really is the reality. They are educators first. They certainly are not going into the process trying to prep them for the ERB, which is the exam that you just referenced. In fact, most of the heads of schools will try to instruct parents not to over-prep their children for the ERBs and just let them go in as their natural selves. With that said,
but the whole curriculum is aimed at getting kids ready for the ERBs in one way or another, no?
Well, I don't think so. I think it's aimed at socializing children with each other, with, you know, doing drills with their dexterity and truly having them become, you know, good right. preschool students.
And again, I think it's both. And it certainly was that in our experience, even though we had no intention of going to private schools. My kids didn't take the ERBs, and the socialization where they went was wonderful. But there's also this element to it. How much do you look at that as a parent, Tony, preparing your child to get into the best possible kindergarten?
Well, arguably, there's nothing more important than your child's education. So just as a Sutton Place address is coveted, so is a New York
City
private
institution. But there's education for its sake, and then there's education for competitive advantage for kindergarten admissions.
True. I believe that, you know, you can look at it from both angles. For us, it was important to get into the best school for our daughter, whether it was culturally or academically, and that's why a preschool director is crucial. You don't prep your child for an ERB. You don't – if prepping a child for ERB is reading to them and taking them to the grocery store and the bakery and all of that, then
you
yes,
want to do it.
Absolutely, people do it.
Lisa in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm a doctor myself. I'm actually a pediatrician, and I'm just picking up my kid from preschool, who's she's taking a nap in the back of the car now, so I pulled over. And I'm thinking of switching out from our preschool, and I was having this discussion with my husband last night, and it culminated in, are you nuts? She's not going to college tomorrow, you know? My daughter's almost, she's a little over two, and we adopted her when she was 21 months old.
Uh-huh.
And she had been living in a special needs orphanage in China. And the question of, and, you know, she's delayed, and we've got early intervention on for her, and this whole thing about what preschool do we pick, and she's made tremendous strides just in the short time that I've stayed at home to take care of her. But, you know, where do I put her in her preschool? And, you know, you do start thinking about, well, is she going to be on time for kindergarten, and how's that going to affect her? Because somewhere in the back of my mind, as this professional woman living in Westchester with a history of going through prep school myself, is that little drumbeat of, will she get into college? Will she get to a good college someday?
It's and in the back of your mind already, isn't
like
it?
Like a nasty little drumbeat. Because, you know, I have friends who are Chinese, and one of the things they said right off the bat is, oh, too bad, she's going to be one of those overrepresented minorities when she applies. And, like, you know, and of course, you know, it doesn't change things, but you got to slap yourself once in a while, figuratively speaking, and say, get a grip. Today is the most important day. It's not 18 years from now, and will you love your child if she's not a Harvard grad? And of course you are.
And I can see all the heads nodding out there, totally relating to what Lisa is saying on both sides of that dilemma. Lisa, thank you very much. And Mark Simon, filmmaker, you followed bankers and lawyers like Tony, including a mother who was quite open about the fact that she and her husband are used to getting what they go for, but you just didn't follow the well-to-do in this film. I want to play a bit of conversation you filmed with one of the mothers talking to Roxana Reed, her childhood friend, who just asked her if what she thinks about the fact that she's trying to send her son to schools where most of the other students will be from a different ethnic background.
I feel like I'm in a position where I can't fail.
Right.
I don't feel that Karen is going to get what he needs in the public school.
Like, what would have happened if our life had been different, where our parents actually, you know, looked at schools and evaluated them against what would be a good fit for us? That's kind of what you're doing right now. You're thinking, what's in, you're getting emotional too. Me too. Like, we're finally...
We're not doing bad, but let me tell you, I think I could have done so much better.
So one mom with admissions advisor Roxana Reed. Mark, do you see the film as a call to action for better public schools, or just a slice of odd Manhattan life?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I certainly hope that better public education is talked about and can result from a film like this. Absolutely. But in truth, this is also a phenomenon that I want to explore.
Because it does become a class thing. I mean, we, you know, in our case, totally intending to use the public schools for both our kids. The reason we shelled out the money for private preschool was because we felt preschool education was important, and there really was no meaningful public option available to us.
And that's 100% right. And that's why, even though the stakes are somewhat higher for kindergarten, everybody is forced into the private preschool realm because there is no public education. And one point I wanted to make about an earlier question you asked, the reason why the stakes get so high for nursery school is, while everyone does want the best for their children, there absolutely is truth to the fact that the anxiety and the hype is driven by the notion that getting into the right preschool will help get you into the right ongoing school. And for families that are committed to stay in New York, wow, if you can't get into the right ongoing school of kindergarten, well, then what's going to happen 10 years down the line? And that creates a lot of the anxiety.
And like elite anything else in New York, there is an intense shortage. Rebecca in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I just this is a great film subject. I just wanted to say I went into the whole private school search very sort of relaxed, and then sort of it as the interviews went on, the anxiety crept up, and I always thought it was just like New Yorkers being kind of crazy and neurotic, and I'm from Vermont, and we don't have anything like this, so I just thought, oh, what a bunch of crazy New Yorkers. But then with every interview, the anxiety did creep up. And then after all of the interviews happened, I found myself so anxious and obsessed with this whole thing while we were waiting to hear. And I would go on Urban Baby, and, you know, it was just, it was crazy. And I couldn't believe sort of the person that I became.
And your child got in and will enter in the fall somewhere?
He did. We are very, very lucky.
So Harvard is still a possibility.
Oh, well, maybe. Or RISD.
Oh, RISD. You're a designer. Rebecca, thank you very much. Tony, you relate to that about starting it with kind of, you know, an open heart and winding up neurotic as a result of the process?
Rebecca's absolutely right. We went into the process, and, you know, you have to respect the process. You have to navigate through a very complicated admissions process. There are applications, photos, recommendations, tours, interviews, all of that. And that's where the anxiety ramps up. So she is absolutely right. We had a more healthy attitude about it, stepped back, and, you know, really decided what's right for our child.
The film is called Nursery University, and was directed and produced by Mark Simon and Matthew Makar, and features families and educators in New York City's private preschools, including our other guest, Tony Pratofiorito. Mark, where can people see this movie?
It opens tomorrow in New York City at the Imagination Theater on 59th and 3rd, and anyone who wants information can go to nurseryuniversitythemovie.com. And it will be spreading nationally, theaters, TV, Showtime, and then eventually DVD, not so far away.
And it does include, right near the beginning, a clip of me interviewing Roxana Reed and Gabriella Rowe on this show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for coming back. Tony, good luck to you and your child.
Thank you for having us.
Megan Ryan, Lisa Allison, Jody Abergan, Paige Cowart produced this program. Annie Schreffler is our Uncommon Economics editor. Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.